It's time for us to turn to the Word of God now, so I will continue in Ephesians chapter 6. If you're using your pew Bible, it's on page 1347. So I invite you to turn there and then have your Bible open on your lap this morning. Sister Linda has the text for us. Sister Linda, if you'll come forward, please. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18.
Blessings, church. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having sawed your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Blessing to his word.
Let's bow our heads and thank God for his word. Father, as always, we are grateful that you have spoken to us. We have gathered here today, Lord, to open our ears and our hearts to your word. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit would give us understanding and that he would cause us indeed to stand in the evil day according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So 14 and 15, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we're on verse 15, which tells us that we're to shoe our feet with what this version calls the preparation of the gospel of peace. In case you didn't know, the word shod is the past tense of the verb to shoe, right? To put something on your foot, right? Having shoed your feet. Now, I think we might admit that the meaning of verse 15 or the sense of it doesn't readily leap to the surface. What is the preparation of the gospel? What does Paul mean exactly by saying, shoe your feet with preparation? How would a Christian know if he has put this piece of armor on or not, particularly if you're not quite sure what the phrase means? The word here is the Greek word etoimesia means that things are ready. For example, right here, things are ready. Jesus said, follow such and such a man into the city, and he'll show you a large upper room where everything is furnished and prepared. Everything is ready. Okay, so maybe instead of saying preparation, preparedness. Maybe we'll word it that way. And some versions say readiness, like the NIV says, with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Remember what we're dealing with here. We're dealing in terms of armor. So protection, full equipment, preparedness in that sense, right? The soldier is outfitted and he is ready for any eventuality. What's important about your feet? Okay, what do your feet, metaphorically speaking, why do your feet need to be thoroughly protected or well shod? Think about it. If you can injure a soldier in his feet, or if you can get his feet out from under him, he's good for nothing. Okay, feet are the base. You stand on your feet, right? These are the commands. Stand, therefore, right? So that you may be able to stand in the evil day, right? Having done all to stand, right? You can't fight if you're not on your feet. You can't defend yourself either. And you can't progress, right? You can't advance. So for one thing, you know, your feet have to be kept from slipping. They need a good grip on the ground. And for another thing, you have to protect your feet from being injured. This week I learned a new vocabulary word. I did not know this word. Do you know what a caltrop is? C-A-L-T-R-O-P. Anybody know this word? Okay, good. I wasn't the only one. It's a wicked little device. It's basically two pieces of wire sharpened on both ends and wound around each other in the middle so that the four ends of it make a pyramid shape. And you throw this little thing on the ground, and whichever way it lands, one of the points is sticking straight up for somebody to be to step on it, either a person or a horse to step on it. And When you use these in large quantities and spread them across the road or across the pathway, it's very, very effective at stopping the progress of an enemy. Okay, it's kind of the original tire spike. That and other methods, stakes hidden in the ground and so on, tiger traps and things like that, were often used in times of war to injure the feet and the legs and seriously impede an enemy's progress, right? It buys you time because they're tending to the wounded or they have to clear the road, and it reduces the enemy's numbers, okay? People who have injured feet, punctured feet, they're good for nothing. So the footwear of the Roman army, okay, the caligae, are these heavy hobnailed sandals. And by hobnailed, I mean that on the bottom are these metal studs, made of iron or bronze, which provide a grip on the ground and also protection against piercing. Okay, these very tough, three-layered leather, heavy soles, and like I said, studded with iron or bronze. A great deal of the success of the Roman army, in fact, is ascribable to their superior foot gear, right? It allows them to travel larger distances, right? Your soldiers' feet are healthy and in good shape, and they're protected, not to mention the psychological effect of hearing, thousands and thousands of metal-shod boots trampling toward you. Anyway, an army moves on its feet, so feet have to be well prepared, right? Well shod. Injure your feet, and you're out of the battle. So what the Christian needs, then, is the protection, A, and then B, the firm and confident footing of being outfitted with the gospel of peace, right? The gospel of peace. How does the gospel of peace keep you from slipping? How does it help you maintain a good grip on the ground and enable you to stand? Right, brothers, I remind you of the gospel. This is 1 Corinthians 15:1. I remind you of the gospel which you received from me and on which you have taken your stand. Okay, of course, these kinds of passages are not talking about taking care of your literal feet, right? It's a metaphor for the foundation and the grounding of your mind, your heart, right? Your spiritual and mental stance. Steady, unwavering, not slipping, but poised and prepared, right? Stable maybe would be a good word. I want you to recall something that James says in his first chapter where he's talking about asking for God's wisdom if you need it. And he says it will be given to him. But James says, let a man ask in faith with no doubting, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Don't let that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord, because he is double-minded and unstable in all his ways, right? Unstable, slipping, sliding, right? No firm grip. Feet are not well shod with the gospel of peace. Okay, so let's talk about the gospel. Why does Paul call it here the gospel of peace, right? Remember what gospel means. What's the word gospel? When you see the word gospel, you should substitute good news. Right? Good, it's a good message. It's a good report. It's the good message of peace. Well, that's what it is, right? The gospel is the announcement of peace with God and peace among men. So I hope you have your Bible still, because I want you to back up to chapter 2, where this was Paul's main theme. Reconciliation with God, peace with God, and beyond that, peace and unity with men. Let's have a look. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, right? Your offenses against God, your aversion to God, in which you once walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, when you were his servants, right? The spirit who now is at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as all the rest. Here's the message of peace. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. And what else? He raised us up together with him, and he made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by, this is verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The message of peace, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, the so-called uncircumcision. Verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ. Right? You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers, foreigners from the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were alienated, far away, you've been embraced, right? You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. 14, he himself is our peace, who has made both, what Jew and Gentile, made them one. And he has broken down the middle wall that separated them, right? Now they are one. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, right? That which caused a conflict, right? He abolished it, namely the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile both of them to God in one body through the cross, putting to death the enmity, right? Putting to death enmity between people, and enmity between man and God. He came and he preached peace to you who were far off, peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So you're no longer strangers or foreigners, no longer alienated. You're fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and the whole building, here's this key word again, being fitted together, right? That's a peace word, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being joined into it for a dwelling place for God to live in by his Spirit. Peace, peace, saith your God. What a message that is. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who comes, bringing what? Bringing a gospel. Right, bringing good news, proclaiming peace, bringing glad tidings of good things, proclaiming salvation, right, deliverance, saying to Zion, your God is on the throne. Break forth into joy and sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Okay, and you know, as Gentiles, you know very well, not just Jerusalem. Okay, the Lord said to his anointed one in Isaiah, it's too small a thing for you to bring back to me the tribes of Israel, Judah and Jerusalem. I also will make you my salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, you here, Gentiles, who were dead in your transgressions and sins, you were children of wrath. God, who is rich in mercy, he has quickened you. He's made you alive. He's raised you up. He's seated you in the heavenlies. He has poured out on you and will continue to pour out on you in the ages to come his goodness, his grace, the riches of his kindness. Christ himself is our peace. Praise the Lord for his mighty works to the children of men. Amen. Peace with God, peace among men. Do you know this, friends? Do you know this today? Are you reconciled to God? Is there peace? Is your heart sure that Christ Jesus himself has you in his grip and he will not let you go? Are you sure-footed? Have you believed the announcement that came to you from the ones who announced the gospel to you? Have you taken your stand upon it? Okay, if not, you have to ask yourself, why not? What am I doubting? What am I uncertain about? Why do doubts arise in your mind? Is it, do you not trust God to be true to his promises? Do you not trust the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Do you not trust his word that whoever believes in me has eternal life and I will raise him up on the last day? My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Okay, you need to know the sureness of your salvation. Okay, your feet must not slip. Stand in faith. Nothing doubting, like James says, nothing doubting. He who doubts is double-minded and is unstable. What do you stand upon? You stand on the gospel of peace. Reconciliation with God, right? That's the gospel, right? It's been effected by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross once and forever, right? And the scripture says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your well-shod feet. Okay, the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, he will outfit you, right? He will equip you. He will prepare you for every good word and work. He will cause you to stand. Philippians says the God of peace will be with you. So maybe you just need to ask yourself, how can I be more sure? Right? How can I be confident? How can I quiet my quaking and stabilize my slippery feet? Well, there's your answer. It's by the gospel, right? Remind yourself of the gospel, okay? It's not just, not just some nice little cheery inspirational words. You know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and by golly, people like me. Not that kind of thing, right? No, the gospel, okay? Paul calls it my gospel. Brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and on which you have, what? Taken your stand, and by which you are also saved if you hold fast to that word that I delivered to you. Namely, what? That Christ has died for our sins in keeping with the scriptures. Right? Sins are taken care of. They're put away. They're out of the Lord's sight. And he was buried. And that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Like the hymn, I think we sang it last week. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely and forever. And one day, he's coming. Oh, glorious day. I'm convinced of this, right? I know whom I have believed. There is no question that God will do what he promised to do. There's no question that he has the ability. There's no question about his willingness. Okay, the psalm says he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the what? Out of the slimy, slippery clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He shod my feet with the gospel, right? And he's put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God, which many will see and fear the Lord, and they will put their trust in him. So that brings us to the other aspect of being prepared, right, or being ready with the gospel, okay? Not just so that I can take my stand and defend my own ground, if you please, against the devil and the principalities and powers, but so that the company of Christ may also advance. Right, like the other hymn says, we've a story to tell to the nations that will turn their hearts to the right. What kind of a story? A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. But how will they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how will they hear unless somebody proclaims him? And how will they proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him who preaches the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Right? Your feet, saints, your beautiful feet, fitted, ready, prepared with the gospel of peace. Good tidings. Oh, I'm so happy Christmas is coming. It's the first time in years I'm happy Christmas is coming. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Peter says, always be what? Prepared. Same word. Always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that lies within you. Do it with meekness and with respect, okay? Which means we have confidence that our message is true and that it's powerful and that it's effective. It's mighty in God to save. And by that gospel, we advance into this present darkness, right? That's what the text here said, into this realm of this present darkness, and win men and women out of that darkness and into the kingdom of light, right? Our friends and neighbors, our brothers and sisters and cousins and so on, okay? With your gospel shoes on, you're not only able to stand your ground, but as the psalm says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, saith the Lord, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Okay, that's the sure-footedness of the gospel of peace. Right? Not just peace for me, but he's readied me and he's equipped me for every good word and work. Right? The God of peace has equipped me to traverse the hills and the valleys of life, taking the gospel of peace with me. Okay? He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the slimy and slippery clay. He set my feet on a rock. He established my steps. And he put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God, which many will see and fear the Lord, and they also will put their trust in him. Okay, so if today's church is uncertain about the gospel, about the content of the gospel, okay, the unique saving revelation of God to the world. And if the church hems and haws about what is its message, and if individual churches leave off preaching the only saving gospel, right, what you might call Paul's gospel, right, that is the unique saving message that Christ entrusted to his apostles and for which we are to contend. If the church, you know, takes off these sturdy shoes for something, say, a little bit more comfortable, you know, some nice lambskin moccasins or something like that, or, you know, some little fuzzy bedroom slippers of compromise and toleration of lies, it's going to fall. Right? Like Deuteronomy says, their feet will slip in due time. Hey, their feet will slip. The day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom hastens upon them. Right, unstable in all he does, a double-minded man. Only the biblical apostolic gospel provides the stability and the protection and the poise and the readiness and confidence to go into this world of darkness and take a stand that can't be shaken. Okay, like Paul says in the end of 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved, here it is again, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hey, why do you know this? Well, because you've taken your stand on the gospel of peace. If you happen to be, or someone you know, is plagued by doubts, by sort of these insidious little suggestions, little unholy voices that sort of, you know, keep throwing those caltrops in the road and stabbing your feet with doubts and you know, what ifs and accusations and anxieties and so forth, you know, they keep questioning the effectiveness of the cross, you know, keep questioning the trustworthiness of God's promise, so that you're tremulous, you're oversensitive, you're anxious and don't know how to tread, right? Then you have to take those gospel shoes and you have to put them on. Okay, that means that there's something you've neglected to do, and you have to do it. Right? I said at the beginning of this study, the gospel armor does not put itself on. You have to put it on. Okay, take the gospel in hand, stick it on your feet, and tie up the strap. They're not slip-on shoes, right? You got to strap them on. Okay, that takes effort. It takes intentionality. It takes focus. It takes study. Otherwise, you know, feelings and fears and impressions and guesses and false gospels and doubts and lies, all of those things are strewn across the way, waiting for you to step on them, right? The evil one scattered his caltrops in the road, and he takes you out of the battle by puncturing your confidence. And without the gospel, you're going to be afraid to take one more step. So put those boots on. Know what the gospel is. Matter of fact, we have a track downstairs called What is the Gospel? Good track. The gospel of peace. Peace that surpasses understanding. And you'll be able to walk right over all of those cruel and prickly little lies. Or you know, sometimes the pathway's slippery. You know, the psalm says we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, right? In the valley, it's dark, it's damp, it's hard to see, it's uncertain, right? We go through periods of grief and gloom and darkness. But with your gospel boots on, you're ready for anything, right? You're ready for any eventuality. I will fear no evil. How? Why? Because you're with me. Right? I know this. The gospel of peace assures me of this. Right? We boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? Okay? Jesus himself promised, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. The God of peace, again, Romans 16:20, I believe, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Right? Even in the turmoil of the battle, the Bible promises that he will surround with perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. You see how important it is to have a sure footing for your life, okay, to for your walk. Right? This isn't a garden walk. Right? It's not a walk that you dare take with bare feet. You need the gospel of peace to guard your hearts and your minds, to keep you from falling. There is only one God. Right? There's only one mediator between God and man, namely the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us, a ransom for all, ransom for you. That's the good news of which Christians speak. If you confess this man, Christ, as your Lord, and if you believe that he has died for you, and he was buried, and carried your sins far away, and rising, he justified freely forever, right? God raised him from the dead for your justification. You will be saved. For the one Lord God is God over all. He is rich to all who call upon him. As it is written, whoever calls on the Lord's name shall be saved. You've heard the good news, so put it on. Trample down the cobra with it, and having done so, in the power of Christ the Lord, stand. Amen, brothers and sisters. Let's give thanks to God for the gospel. Father in heaven, we bless your name. We praise you, Lord God, because you are so very kind to us poor weaklings, Lord. You have fitted us out in strength in the power of the Lord. And we bless you, Lord. Thank you for our word today. We thank you for the knowledge that you have saved us, you will save us. And we pray, Lord, that as we go into this dark age, that we will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and not just stand our own ground, Lord, but to cause others to stand as well. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for our time in the Word together today. And we pray, Father, that you'll make our going effective this week to bring others into your kingdom and to save them from the realm of the devil. Bless your name in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.